So in most of our churches, Memorial Day isn't recognized that much because it isn't a holy service. It isn't a holy time on the calendar. But I can't think of anything more right than celebrating Memorial Day in the church. Amen? It is right. And you know why? Because the chief reason that our soldiers have gotten the bravery that they have and the moxie that they have is because Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedom. He freely laid down his life. He knew he was going to die, but he freely laid down his life for freedom's sake. Amen? Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice when he laid down his life so that we could have freedom in our spirit, in our heart, in our life. No longer do we have to be chained to the law of sin and death, but now we can live in freedom. Amen? Now, the ability to remember. Memorial Day simply means to remember. How many of you guys know it's important to remember stuff? If you went to bed and woke up the next day and forgot who you were every single day, that would be tough. That would be rough. All right? It would be tough. You wouldn't know who you were. You had to start it all over again. You have to leave a tape for yourself every day to remind yourself who you are, what you do, who you're married to. How many of you guys would like to wake up and look over to you and see some strange person laying beside you every single day? That would not be cool. So your memory is a good thing. Amen? Knowing that the value and the gift of remembrance is a wonderful thing. In our remembrance, we remember our childhood memories, getting married, our children being born. All of those different things are wonderful things. I heard a joke the other day about a guy named John and Bill. They hadn't seen each other in a long time. And Bill remembered that when he saw him in the mall, he remembered that he couldn't remember that much. He had a horrible memory. John came up to him and he said, "Hey, buddy, how you doing?" And Bill said, "It's Bill. I'm doing good, John. How you doing?" He goes, "I'm doing real good." He goes, "You know, remember that time that I had that bad problem with memory and all that stuff and couldn't remember too much?" And Bill said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, I went to the seminar and I took the steps and principles that they taught and applied them, and they're working great for me. I have a wonderful memory now." Bill goes, "That's fantastic." He goes, what kind of seminar was it?" He goes, and he turned to his wife and he went, and he turned back to Bill and he said, "Bill, what's the name of that flower that's red? You give it to your wife, it's got thorns on it." And he goes, "A rose?" And he goes, "Yeah, hey, Rose, what was the name of that seminar?" That's bad. That's bad stuff right there. Nobody wants to have that kind of memory. It's important to remember. Amen? Extremely important. Now, there are events that we should never forget. And Memorial Day is one of them. Memorial Day started soon after the Civil War when wives and children would go to the graves of their husband and fathers that were killed during the Civil War, both in the North and the South. And they would lay a wreath and roses there, flowers to symbolize their sacrifice and all those different things. And then after World War I, we remember that it became a national holiday. And we remember all the soldiers that gave their lives for freedom's sake. And it goes on still today. It's become a national holiday to remember for those who paid the ultimate sacrifice. Now, sometimes we tend to forget things, don't we? Sometimes we do. And you know, the Old Testament is a perfect example to help us to remember. Because every time that one of the children of Israel won a battle, or every time that a significant thing happened in that land, they always erected a memorial of remembrance to remember what happened in that spot. If you would, turn with me to Genesis 9. How many of you guys remember the story of Noah and the flood? Remember what happened there in those days. We know that God sent a flood to to destroy all mankind, and only Noah and his family were left to survive. We know that they were spared, their lives were spared. In Genesis 9, the Lord spoke to Noah, and he said, I establish my covenant with you. Never again will life be cut off by the water of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And it says, verse 14, whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbows appear in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures to every kind. To every kind. Now, another memorial was erected when Joshua led the people of Israel across the Jordan. Remember when the waters stopped flowing just as the Ark of the Covenant stepped into the water and the people walked across on dry ground? If Joshua would not have done that, if he would have not had told the priests to go forward and to bring the Ark of the Covenant before the people and go into the Jordan, then there would be that would be the end of the story. There would be no triumph in the Bible concerning this. But Joshua told the priest, he said, I want you to take the Ark of the Covenant into the Jordan. Step into the Jordan. And when you do it, the waters will part and we can go over and walk on dry ground to the other side. And so what happened was he sent the priests and he sent the Ark of the Covenant forward. And what happened? The waters split. And all the children of Israel walked across on dry ground. Let's look in Joshua. Joshua chapter 4. Let's start with Joshua chapter 4, verse, starting with 4 through 6. So Joshua called them together, the 12 men who had appointed from Israel, one from each tribe, and said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of Israel, to serve as a sign among you in the future when your children are ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. Forever. And so, when I was reading this story, I was asking myself, okay, why didn't Joshua say, hey, go by the riverbank and pick up the biggest rocks you can find and bring it to me, because we're going to erect a memorial to what God had done here today. Why did he say, go into the middle of the Jordan while the waters are still parted? Go into the middle of the Jordan and grab the biggest boulders that you can carry onto your shoulders and bring them out, because we're going to erect a memorial to commemorate what God has done here today. The reason why is because anybody could erect a memorial from rocks on the side of the riverbank. But it takes God to erect a memorial from rocks from the middle of the river, amen? And it's important to realize that sometimes we have got to remember God's faithfulness in our life. Whenever we feel like that the waters of the Jordan are pressing in all around us, we need to remember that God took us across on dry ground. Amen? It's important. Back in those days, they didn't write everything down. They erected memorials. They told stories to their children so that they could tell stories to their children, and their children could still tell stories to their children. And it's why? It's because to share the faithfulness of their God. Amen? I want to share something with you today. And I intended on passing it around, but I think it'd take a little longer. But I want to show this to you. I'll show it this way. This is me and guys that work for me. The middle is my business, Mid-South Painting. These are some of the guys right here. This was my last day on the job before I handed it over to one of those knuckleheads that you see. And the reason why I wanted, I'm going to put it in my office. And the reason why I wanted to show you this today is because of this. I want to tell you a little story about my life. Dana and I had resigned from a church that I've been a part of for many years as principal of the school. And I went back into the painting business. And working for yourself in a small town is very difficult. A lot of people didn't think I would make it. And I was a little scared myself because I went from a steady salary every single week to I'm not quite sure. Now, when you're in the realm of not quite sure, it's unsettling. Can I get a witness? It's unsettling. Am I the only one that feels unsettled in the land of not sure? And so what I did was I put a business together and called this guy because I heard that he was building a house, and he's a contractor. And I said, I want to come, and I want to, can I come and bid on this house? And he said, sure. So he said, meet me here at 7 o'clock in the morning. So I went and met him there at 7 o'clock in the morning, that next morning. I went there, looked at the place, and I gave him a very, very low, low price so that he could see my work. And if he liked my work, then we could do business, and we could go back up to a fair price. And so he kept him hawing around. He said, well, I don't know. You know, I'm not sure. My wife usually does all that. And I'm thinking, yeah, right. You know, you're giving me the runaround. And so I got back in my truck and I started heading back home on a 30-minute drive back to my house. And fear crept all over me because I thought, if I don't get this house, I'm not going to get paid. And if I don't get paid, I can't pay others whom I owe. Has anybody had that thought run through your mind before? And so fear started creeping into my intellect, into my heart, into my spirit, and my mind. And I had to shake myself from that fear, and I began to pray. And I said, Father, this is the prayer I pray. Father, I thank you that you're going to give me this house. Not only are you going to give me this house, but you're going to give me new house after 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 new house. You know why? Because I have just the audacity to pray such a thing. Not because of who I am, but because who He is. Amen? Guys, we need to understand that when you're in a crisis situation and you pray to your mighty God, don't pray that you eke by. Pray that you overcome. Amen? Pray that you get to the top of the heap at the end of the day. Amen? Because the Bible says that you will be the head and not the tail. How many of you guys are tired of being the tail? Just me. Amen. I'm tired of being the tail. And so what I did, I began to pray and thank God. I thank you, Lord, that this job is going to be mine. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to give me new house after new house. Matter of fact, all I'm going to do is paint new houses. Thank you, Lord. I got home. The very next day, I woke up, I called the guy back, and he said, come on and paint the house. He said, I want you to paint the house. So I painted the house, and what happened next was, he said, I didn't want to tell you this, but I have four new houses that are ready to be painted right now. Somebody give God praise. Amen. So what I did was, I began to paint new house after new house after new house after new house. This little company didn't just... it wasn't just me anymore, but I had to hire four more people to keep up with the workload. And can I tell you, in 5 years of painting, I never was in lack. When the economy hit the tank, I never missed a day of painting something. You know why? Because my God supplies all of my needs according to His riches and glory. Amen. My God is bigger than anything I could ever think or ask of. Why? Not because I'm a holy man. Not because I stand up here behind a pulpit, or because I wear a tie or a mic attached to my hip. It's because I trust God over the economy. Amen? I trust God over what people say to me. And here's how I knew that I was succeeding. A guy, Williams Lumber Company, is where everybody goes and gets their Benjamin Moore paint. There's tons of painters in Savannah, of a town of about 9,000. And I ordered like $1,200 worth of paint for a house that I was doing. And as I was signing my ticket, he said, "You know, Jimmy," he said, "when you quit your teaching job, I thought you were pretty crazy." He said, "I didn't want to say anything." He said, "I didn't know how Savannah could handle another painter." He said, "But by the workload that you have and by the volume of paint that you've been buying, something's going pretty good, isn't it?" He said, "I didn't think you was going to make it." And I said, "Here's the thing, here's the difference. My God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. My God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory." And he goes, "I believe it. I believe it." And this right here, this stands as a memorial to me of God's faithfulness in my life. When you obey him, when you consider his ways higher than your ways, when you consider his ways above your own, when you consider his faithfulness above your job's faithfulness, above your boss's faithfulness. Because I'm going to tell you, bosses cut you. Bosses can lay you off. But God will constantly provide for your needs according to his riches and glory. And according to his words, he never runs out of riches. His glorious is infinite. It goes on forever. Amen? He is never in lack. And because of this, this is the other side of Jordan for me. This is the other side of Jordan for me. I can look back and I can see this Mid-South painting symbol. I cut this out of one of my work shirts. It's got paint on it. It's got sweat on it. I didn't wash it. I cut it out, put it in there. Sometimes you can smell it. Sometimes you can't. But it stands as a testimony, as a memorial of what God has done in my life. I just dared to believe that God was going to do exceedingly abundantly above all I could ask or think of. And he did it. He did. Do you know that God desperately desires to show himself to you? He desires to provide for you. He desires to want to provide for your every need. He desires to show his love and his faithfulness to you. But the one thing that we have to do in order to release God's hands is to release our hands, to release our worry, to release our fretting, to release our baggage to him. Because when we release it, it says, "Father, I trust you. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I trust you. I trust you." Now, I know that Denise and Brian could probably say the same things, that going to school and you working and providing, that we have to do some of those things because that's just how life is. But God is faithful, amen? He is faithful and he is just. And that picture stands as a memorial of God's faithfulness. And there's other commentaries in my office that I'll share on a later date that stands at God's faithfulness in my life. If it wasn't for those commentaries, there'd be no Dana. That's for another sermon. But if it wasn't for those commentaries, there'd be no Dana. And if it wasn't for this memorial right here, for me looking, that's not just a picture to hang in my office. That's to remind me. Church, it's important that we do not forget the victories that God has brought us through. He is faithful. We need to remember. Tell your children. Tell your family. Listen, the reason why this happened and the reason why I came out on top isn't because I'm smart, isn't because I'm brilliant, isn't because I know the right moves to make. It's because I trusted in the Lord. Amen? Every time my mother, we go through certain situations in our life and this move and everything else to Green Bay, and I get, start to wring my hands a little bit about how it's going to work out and everything else. My mother, she told me, she said, "Jimmy, I don't even know why you're fretting, because I have seen God come through for you time and time and time again. He's going to do it again." Do you know that when we left Savannah, we signed the papers on our house. We sold our house that day. I left Savannah, Tennessee with money in my pocket. Sold the house the day we left. Went to the bank, signed the papers, got in the truck, moved to Green Bay. Hallelujah. That's how God supplies our needs according to his riches and glory. We need to remember those things. Worry makes you forget. Worry makes you focused on here, makes you focus inward. A church that is totally focused in on itself is a church that will implode and collapse upon itself. And it's no different for the individual as well. A person that is always looking inward, can't see the forest for the trees, is always self-contained, never allowing anyone in. I encourage you today to remember the faithfulness of God. Amen? Remember the faithfulness of God. You look at the Passover. Let's turn to Exodus 11. Wonderful story of God's faithfulness. Moses goes, and you know the story of him going to Pharaoh and saying, "Let my people go." You know the story about how Pharaoh hardened his heart and said, "I will not do it." And whenever the Lord began to send the plagues, the Bible says that he began to harden Pharaoh's heart and he would not let the people go. And you know, one thing, what happened was is that God instructed Moses. He said, "What's going to happen is I'm going to strike every single household. Their firstborn will die. Even the cattle of the firstborn will die. And here's what I want you to do." Exodus 11. Let's look at Exodus 11, 4 through 6. So Moses said, "This is what the Lord says: about midnight, I will go throughout Egypt. Every firstborn in Egypt will die, from the firstborn son of Pharaoh who sits on the throne to the firstborn of the slave girl who is at her handmill, and at the firstborn of the cattle as well. There will be loud wailing throughout Egypt, worse than there was ever been or ever will be again among Israel." We see in Exodus 12 through 14, it says, "On that same night I will pass through Egypt to strike down every firstborn, both men and animal, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the house where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destruction or plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. This is the day you are to commemorate as a memorial for the generations to come. Ye shall celebrate it as a festival of the Lord, as a lasting ordinance." What happened was, God said, "I'm going to strike down every firstborn. And what I want you to do, children of Israel, is I want you to take your best lamb, spotless, without blemish, the one you cherish the most, the one that you favor over every one of them, the one that is without sickness, and I want you to slaughter that animal, and I want you to collect the blood in a basin. And I want you to take that blood, and I want you to take a hyssop branch, and I want you to take it and dip it down in that blood and put it on the doorpost of your house. And when the death angel crosses through Egypt, your house will not be touched, because the blood marks that you're mine. Amen. The blood marks that you're mine, and I will pass by." And that next day in Egypt, there was weeping and wailing from Pharaoh's house all the way down to the slave girl's house. There was weeping and wailing in all of Egypt. And Pharaoh summoned Moses and he said, "Get your people out of here. Immediately, move your people out." 400 years of captivity ended that day. And 3,500 years later, we remember the Passover. We remember the symbolism in the blood. We know that Jesus is our sacrificial lamb. We know that when God sees our house, talking about this temple, our body, when he sees the blood applied to our life, he knows that we are his and he is ours. Amen? And now in the New Testament, we now call him Father. Abba, Father. Daddy God. We know that we can call upon him. We know that we can remember. And faithful Jews for 3,500 years still remember to this day and have the feast of the Passover. They remember the Passover. Now, the reason why God told the children of Israel to get the best of the lamb, the one that didn't have any spots, that wasn't sick, the one they cherished and favored the most, is because God deserves our best. How many times do we give Him less than our best? God told the children of Israel one time, He said, I'm sick of your sacrifices. I'm sick of your weak and sickly sacrifices that you offer up before me. I want your obedience. I don't care for your sacrifices. I want your obedience. I encourage you today, just like the children of Israel remember Passover, and even we remember Passover, remember that your God is faithful. Remember that He gave you His best. He gave you His Son that died on a tree for you and me. Amen? It's important that we remember. We have much to remember. Whatever you do, don't forget how we got here. Don't forget the price that was paid so that we can live in freedom and joy and the blessings that God has given us. Please don't ever, ever forget. There was a young man. Well, I say young. I read about it in an article. He's about 28. He's an executive, and he just was bumped up the ladder pretty quick. And to commemorate his promotion, he went out and bought a Jaguar, brand new black. It was a, let's see, what did it say? XKE, whatever that is. Creme de la creme, I guess. AKA creme de la creme. And he was so proud of this thing, and he was riding it down the neighborhood, showing it off. And he was going in and out of the neighborhoods, and all of a sudden on the side, there was a loud crash on the side of his door. And he stopped immediately, abruptly. He hadn't even had the thing, an hour yet. And there was a big crash and a thud on the driver's side door. And he got out, and he was enraged. He looked at it, and he saw a brick. And he saw a kid over there, and he ran, grabbed that kid, threw him up against the car, and began to shout at him, "Why did you throw that brick? I'm going to kill you!" You know. and the boy was sobbing, crying. He said, "I'm sorry. I didn't know what else to do. I didn't know what else to do. I didn't know what else to do." And that took the man by surprise. He said, "What do you mean you didn't know what else to do?" He said, "It's my brother. He's in a wheelchair, and he's fallen off the curb into the highway, and he's hurt really bad, and I can't pick him up, and I'm desperate. Nobody will stop. Nobody will help me." And he said, "I didn't know what else to do, so out of desperation, I threw the brick. I'm sorry, but my brother, he needs your help. I can't pick him up. He's too big for me." And so the man, his rage turned into weeping. And he said, where's your brother? And he pointed to the other side of the road, and he looked, and there he was, laying, hurting and bleeding. Couldn't get up. And the man rushed over to him and picked him up and nursed his wounds and said, "Where do you live?" And he said, "Two blocks down." And so he escorted both he and his brother to his family's home, where his family took care of him. And the man said, "It was a very long walk back to my car." And he said, one person asked him, he said, "Well, did you get the dent fixed?" He said, "I never got it fixed." And he said, "The reason why is because I don't want to ever go through my life too busy that somebody has to throw a brick to get my attention." It's important that we remember those days, those moments, those transfiguring moments in our life that changes us forever. Because I'm going to tell you, the troubles of life will try to snuff those out, will try to cause you not to remember what God has done for you in your life. And trust me, worry and fear will soon make you forget everything that God has done. Amen? It's the truth. Fear blots out what God has done, but faith pushes back the darkness. Faith tells us that even though that we may not see where our paycheck is coming next week, But I remember when I prayed on the way home from Clifton about that house. I remember praying and asking God, not only for that house, but house after house after house after house after house. And Lord, I remember the very next day when I got that phone call from that contractor and he said, come do this house, and I've got four more after that that you can do. God, I remember that. I remember when I didn't have enough money to go back to school, how God provided a rank stranger to pay my entire college tuition so that I could go back to school. God, I remember how that you provided a buyer for our house so that we wouldn't have to worry about paying two mortgages while we were here in Green Bay. God, I remember. I remember what you did. And when you begin to remind God of what he did, then you begin to be emboldened in your faith and you begin to say, greater is he that is in me than he is that in this world. Amen? Then we begin to call those things that be not as though they were. We begin to call those things forth in our life. Amen? We begin to call those things forth. Maybe you've been a part of a family that's told you you can't all your life. Well, if you're a believer here today, you've got a God that says you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. You can do all things. Everybody say all things. All things. You can do it. You're a king's kid. You've got the blood of Jesus in your heart, in your spirit, on your body, in your mind, to commemorate the great sacrifice that your Lord and Savior did for you. And because of it, you're now qualified. Because of it, you're now justified. Because of it, you're now exonerated from all your sin. Amen? Because of it, you're no longer subject to the law of sin and death. But now you have freedom through Christ. Now you have a father that said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. You have a father that says you're favored. You have a father that says you can overcome. You have a father that says you can do all things. You have a father that says, I am your God. I am your father. I will never leave you nor forsake you. You are special. You can do it. I will be there with you. Amen? It's important to remember. Let's not get too busy throughout our life that the only way somebody can get our attention is by throwing a brick. Slow down. When things in life begin to snuff you out and snuff your joy out, remember. Remember his great sacrifice, amen? Remember his faithfulness in your life. Remember. Begin to quote scripture over your life. Remember. Begin to quote his promises over your life. Remember. And that remembrance will set you free. Amen? Let's stand up. Let's all bow our head, close our eyes. We're going to dismiss just in a minute. Today, if you're a guest with us, and you don't know the Lord, today's your opportunity. You don't have to take a bunch of classes. You don't have to take a bunch of all these confirmation things. Listen today. If you want to know the faithfulness of the Lord, if you want to know his forgiveness, today is your day. The Bible says that if you ask him for forgiveness, he said he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So today, if you don't know the Lord, I want to encourage you today to accept him as your Lord and as your Savior. So with everybody's head bowed and eyes closed, you say, Pastor Jimmy, that's me. I don't know the Lord, and I want him in my life. I want to be a Christian. I want to be born again. If that's you, I just want you to raise your hand and put it back down. Keep it up so I can see it. Amen. You say, Pastor Jimmy, I've allowed the worries of this life to cloud the faithfulness of God in my life. And I need clarity today. I need to remember God's faithfulness again. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. Put it back down. Okay, all right. Then, Father, today, I come before you. And Lord, I lift up those that have lifted up their hands. I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that you would begin to console them, Lord. Help them to remember your great sacrifice. Help them, Father, to remember to push back the worries of this life so that they can taste and see, Lord, that you truly are good, that your faithfulness endures forever. Throughout all generations, husband and wife, father, mother, it's important that you remember, because your children look at you and they want to see the faithfulness of God. They want to see the goodness of God. Pass your faith on to your children. Pass your faith on to your family. Because throughout all generations, He is worthy. Throughout all generations, He is worthy. I thank you so much, Father, that you displayed great sacrifice for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So, Father, because you showed us your great sacrifice, Lord, we now sacrifice our life to you. We give it to you freely, in order that Jesus may be lifted up in our life. And I pray, Father, that each and every person would push back worry, would push back the woes of this life, and they would remember your great faithfulness in their life. Help them to remember, Father, the way, the truth, and the life. And so, Lord, we come to you on this Memorial Day. And Father, each and every person in this place has a memorial that they remember where you have been faithful. Help them to never, ever forget. Never, ever forget your great sacrifice, your great love for us, your great compassion for us. And more importantly, the fact that you have accepted us. Oh, Lord, I thank you so much for that. If you feel comfortable, I want you to raise your hand up and say, Lord, thank you. Thank him in your own way. Thank you, Father, right now. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we come before you with a thankful heart, with a heart of gratitude. Lord, we stop our fast-paced life. Lord, we come before you with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, with thankful heart, Lord. Lord, I choose today to remember all of your faithfulness. You are Lord and there is no other. I thank you, Father, that I'm not God, you are. And because of that, Lord, you're faithful. Because of that, Lord, I know that you will provide. Because of that, Lord, I no longer have to worry. But I stand today as a testimony of your faithfulness, a testimony of your goodness. Lord, I absolutely 100% love you. I absolutely 100% unequivocally trust you, Father. Lord, you meet my needs, not my job. You supply all my needs, not my toiling, but you. So I thank you today, Father. I thank you, Lord, that I stand here today an overcomer through the blood of Jesus. I thank you that I stand here today victorious through the blood of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that I stand here today a son through the blood of Jesus. And so, Father, to you be the glory, to you be the honor in this house today. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Thank you, Jesus. May you be forever glorified. May you be lifted up. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Want to thank you guys for coming today. If you are a visitor, if I've never met you before, please come shake my hand. I want to meet you. Love to have you back. Be a part of what's going on here at New Freedom. And you guys have a wonderful and safe Memorial Day weekend, all right? God bless you. Love you. See, don't forget, listen, one more last thing. Wednesday nights, 6:30, be here for prayer, for worship, a time of praying with one another. Be here. It's a powerful time, all right? God bless. We'll see you guys. You are dismissed. Honey, you go back there and turn those lights on.
Yeah, which ones are they?
They're back there by the door.
Hey, Kimberly.
Nice to meet you. Kevin, nice to meet you. Really? Well, let me turn this thing off.